Yesterday, up at the camp site that I guess, but it's on Gary's land, most of you know that, we had a well put in. Now, up until yesterday, there was this hole in the ground, and it filled up with water, and we had to pump the water out, and then start doing everything that we needed to get it dug. And Ben did the digging yesterday, and it was really fantastic. And Gary and I, we did some other things while Ben was digging, but we also came up and we watched. And it really hit me really strongly. I felt at the end of it all, and here I wasn't the one that was digging, but I felt such a sense of accomplishment. And I felt so good about having this well there, because it really gave me a sense of security, right? Knowing that what we all need for life, above everything, is you have to have water. Right? Water is so important for us in order to live, above everything else, even food. What is it, 3 weeks without food before you die? And it's 3 days without water. So it's the most essential thing, I guess, besides air that we breathe. And so I was thinking about the well. And a scripture came to me that we're going to go to that talks about the joy, to draw out the joy from the wells of salvation. So I'm going to be talking about wells and water and what all of this is today, because I thought that was where the Lord wanted to take it, with that big illustration that God had given me yesterday. That just really hit me. For a while now, Gary and I have been talking about, we've got to get this well in. You know, we want to get this taken care of. And so it's thrown back in my mind, and so it finally happened. And when I was thinking about this, you know, it's 12 feet deep. We have three big well tiles that are stacked on top of each other. They're 4 feet high, 4 feet in diameter. And that's going to be quite a bit of water in there.
Yeah.
You know, quite a bit. Hopefully, the water will fill in most of that area, or that volume. And then we're going to have that. But it really hit me about how, you know, this water was flowing underground. Right, it's flowing. There's underground streams, and it's there. And I was walking on top of it. And here's all this water under there that can give me life. And I can walk on top of it and not even realize that it's there. I might have known that it was there. Gary had a dowser come and said, right here, you're going to find water. There's going to be two streams of water about 8 feet down. And the guy was completely correct. Right where he said was where these underground streams. You wouldn't have known it by just standing on the ground. You don't. I didn't feel anything under my feet because it was down pretty far. But that life that this water could provide was there, and I wasn't able to access it. Well, you have to dig. Mm-hmm. You gotta dig to get to the water. And once you get down there, and we got down to the 8 feet, the water it was very, very clear. There was water there, we disturbed the ground, of course, in the digging, and so now the water is slowly starting to percolate up into the well. But I just thought about, let's go to the scripture. I think I'll go to the scripture first before I keep going. So if you would go in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. We're going to start here. Because this is where I got started with the Lord on this, on just thinking about this, and He took me to these other places we'll get to. All right, so Isaiah 12, verse 3. Well, let's go to verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Isn't that great? And so that it was this verse 3 that came to mind when I was watching the well being dug and everything being done there. And you start thinking about all of that. And Isaiah, and this was 750, 800 years after the time of Moses. Okay? And he's referring back to an incident in the Exodus where the children of Israel come into a place called Elim, and there are 12 wells in this area of Elim, 12 wells that provided water for the children of Israel. Now, there had to be a lot of water there. There was quite a few children of Israel. How many? I mean, do we know? Like a half a million or something like that?
Yeah, it's like 4-something million.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people anyway. So Isaiah is referring back about 750 years to that incident, talking about the wells of salvation. And let me just—I'm just going to real quick let you know where that is. It's in Exodus. I think it's 15. Exodus chapter 15. And it says in verse 27, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and there were 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And so, it basically an oasis, right? Only there were these 12 sources of water. In the King James, it says wells. It might say fountains or springs, maybe in some of the other translations. But it's this underground water that comes up, and you can either have to dig it if it's not naturally percolating up from the ground. Then you have to dig to find the water, right? And this happens a lot to us when we're in a desert kind of season of our life. We're in a desert area. You know, we gotta dig.
That's right.
You gotta dig for the water. You know, and we should know where to look, right?
Yes.
Look to the Lord and give you guidance.
Yeah.
Where it is.
Now, Isaiah not only was referring back to this incident with Moses. By the way, in Exodus chapter 15, that chapter is called the Song of Moses. So it's referring back to this Song of Moses, and in the Song of Moses, he talks about the 12 wells in Elim. So it's referring back to this particular incident, and the Jews continually refer back to the wells of salvation. That oasis, that watering hole, was a place where saved them. because they had enough water. They had enough water to sustain themselves. But it also, 750 years later, approximately, Isaiah is also talking, when he talks about the wells of salvation, we would naturally think of Jesus, really. Right?
Yes.
And I want to talk about that a little bit, too. So, if you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. Go there. I'm going to jump around here a little bit. So you're going to need to pay attention here. This is going to be a short message. And I don't want you to miss it just because you're watching Marie walk down. Yeah, they do. There's no question about that. Okay, John chapter 4. Jesus says this in verse 14, 4:14. This is a story about the woman at the well. It says, whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now this is really great. You know the song. What was the name of that song? The same power. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave. We have a well. We have a well that bursts up into everlasting life that's inside all of us. We were talking about how, you know, when we look at ourselves. And we kind of tend to see ourselves the way the world sees us a lot of times, the way we've been even conditioned, our own minds have been conditioned to think about who we are. And yet, every single person that's born again has the Holy Spirit within. Isn't that right? There's something very special, very important to God, that we have the Holy Spirit within us, and that we can accomplish many things that we don't think that we can accomplish, because it's not really going to be us who accomplishes those things. We are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, His eternal power, this river of life that is the Holy Spirit that can flow out of us. In fact, the next scripture I'm going to take you to says this very thing. Now, we're conditioned and have really, in many ways, limited the Holy Spirit moving through us. Would you all agree with that?
Yes.
Would you say that the reason why the Holy Spirit doesn't move more through us is not because of the Holy Spirit, but because maybe we're in the way?
Yes.
Our attitudes, our focus in life, lusts and our insecurities and all those things that can really get in the way of the Holy Spirit freely moving, freely just moving through us all. You know, our fears, anything, right? And here's this living water, and in a lot of ways, it can be 8 feet under the ground, and it's percolating, and it wants to rise up in us, right? And we all are people that can actually be repositories, wells of living water for other people.
Right.
It isn't for ourselves; it's for other people, isn't it? And God really wants to encourage us today not to be fearful, not to just live with old ways of thinking and habits, but that we really begin to just become free. I know I need to be more free.
Amen.
and outgoing. I'm a very, I'm kind of a, you might not think so, but I'm well, maybe you do think so. I don't like to talk in front of people. You wouldn't believe that. I know you don't believe that.
Okay. All right. Would you go to go over a few pages to John chapter 7? John chapter 7.
This is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, which is going to be coming up here in not too long. In fact, when the 10 days of prayer, the 10 days of awe, are over with, this is a Jewish celebration. These 10 days of prayer are the 10 days are happening over a period of time the Jews call the 10 days of awe, which were to prepare themselves for Yom Kippur, which was the Day of Atonement. And after the Day of Atonement was a celebration known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus, in this account, he is he's at the temple, and it's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles to the Jews, there are 12 priests are selected, and they're each given a big gold pitcher, and they go to I'm not even exactly sure where they go. Pool of Siloam, maybe it was. And they walk through. It's all very grand and processional. And they each one at a time they go in and they get water into the golden pitchers. And that person moves along, and the next priest in back dips. And so there's 12 of them. And then they get around the labor and there's 12 of them now, and they pour the water out. This is really in reflection back to what happened with Moses and the people of Israel at the waters of Elam, which is really kind of an interesting little tie-in. So the Feast of Tabernacles has this ritual that's involved with it on the last day of the feast. And so this is what happens, all right? John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" That's fantastic. Every single person in here, every believer in here, that would be everybody. Everybody in here has rivers of living water. Wow. You know? We have a lot that we can give. We can. And what holds that back? Well, some of it is maybe we haven't dug deep enough. We haven't invested ourselves in the Lord enough. Maybe it's fear. Maybe what's there, we're afraid we're going to overstate something, or we're going to offend somebody, or maybe it's not the right time. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can come into our mind and restrict us. And I'm not talking about going out like a bunch of Comanches. But I am saying that there needs to be a peace in our heart for who we are, who God has called us to be. To reach out to the lost. And I want to say this too. Reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
When they're in a dry and weary place, that we, the waters of salvation, that thing that saves them out of misery or lack of faith or whatever it might be, that we have a word for the weary in due season. Don't we all need this?
Yes.
You know? We need to be that kind of people that when we see people that we're reaching out more. I've said this a lot. A lot of these messages, I'm not thinking about any particular person. I'm thinking about me. I see how the Lord's touching me in my heart, you know, ringing, putting my heart through a ringer where I need to change. I need to be something beyond who I would be naturally. Mm-hmm. I need to be who He wants me to be.
Right.
I need to decrease. He needs to increase in my life. And that's the same with you. We limit ourselves because we look at ourselves when the full source of ultimate power does reside in us. Right?
Yes.
Now, look at this. Look at the next verse, okay? Talking about rivers of living water. The next verse says, but He spoke this concerning the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet, not until Jesus was glorified. And then all of that happened, and the day of Pentecost came, and since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given as a seal, as a stamp, as a mark on us, as a down payment for the rest of it. You know, you get a down payment for something, and it's showing that God, in this case, that God has more to give. And He gives us His Holy Spirit to say, there's more that I have for you. Isn't that great? And it isn't about ourselves. It is about reaching out to a dark world. And it's also about reaching out to help our brothers and sisters through the times that we all go through. Isn't that right? Because there's none of us that are perfect.
And those who are the chosen of God are persecuted more than those who are not.
Yeah, and you know, this is an interesting story. The
last week's message was about how the kingdom suffers violence. That we're under attack all the time. Some people maybe more than others, but the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And the point that I felt the Lord was making last week was the fact that, you know, and we had Ronnie and I had our little tug of war thing, right? You know, when there's a force coming at you, if you're not pushing back with the same amount of force or with greater force, what's going to happen to you?
You're going down.
You're going down. You're going to be overtaken. You're going to be overcome. What was the song that we sang about the same power, Holy Spirit, that was in Christ is in us? That same power that was in Jesus is in us. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. So that's a possibility. But like almost everything else in life, that doesn't happen just because we think it.
Right.
You realize this? Saying the name of Jesus, it isn't just the saying of the name of Jesus. It's the power of belief that you have when you say the name of Jesus that has the power to push back on the enemy. It's the power of you can quote a scripture. You can have something hit you in the head, and you know you're getting depressed or you're getting angry about something, and then you quote a scripture. Quoting the scripture only gets you in the first step, right, of battling and pushing back. You've got to believe what you're saying.
That's right.
Don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
When we're talking about power, if we're talking about the kingdom of God suffers force against it, well, we, as God's people, those who have rivers of living water within us, we have to believe. We have to push back against those rotten thoughts, don't we?
Yeah.
And we have to push back with force. We have to believe. We have to realize I have no power in myself. God, it has to be you. But I'm gonna take that step of faith, and I'm gonna turn away. Have you done that? Have you ever run away? Have you ever like it says in Timothy, flee from immorality, flee from different sins. Do we really do that? Have we resisted to the point of shedding blood? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
We have a lot further we can go. The river is there. The flow of the Spirit is there inside of you and me.
Amen.
And we make excuses. And God has given us everything. We have rivers of living water.
Mm-hmm.
Poor little old me. I just can't do those kinds of things. No. You and I, we can do things. We will not be overtaken, and we will not be overcome. But that doesn't happen just because we sing the words of the song.
Right.
You and I have to live that. We have to believe that.
Right. Yeah.
The world isn't going to go away and leave us alone just because we say, Jesus, stop. If we don't have any belief in our heart that no matter what they do to us, they're not going to do anything inside of us. Right?
Worry about the man who kills the flesh, but worry about God.
Who can take the soul.
Yeah.
But isn't this... one of the most important things I thought about the message today was that we really got to see it's
the Word of God, but the power comes in the belief in the Word of God. Doesn't it?
Yes.
It isn't how much emotion I can stir up to push back, but it's my belief. It's what I really believe. It's what I sense is right, that I know. And I stand on that, and maybe those forces, the bad kind of thoughts, and those things come at my head, and I'm trying to push them away, and they don't leave. Has that happened to you?
Oh yeah.
Have you had emotions that you go, well, I rebuke that in Jesus' name, and you still got it, and it's still around. It doesn't just leave right away. We've talked about this before in terms of spiritual battle. Spiritual battle, there's levels of authority. There's levels of violence, of force that's in the spirit realm. And some of those people don't have to listen to you or I. I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? If we haven't been exercised in the realm of faith, I mean, we all want to say, oh yeah, I'm a man of faith.
Until
something comes along that you're not so much a man or woman of faith. You know, I mean, those things happen. Well, I'm going to say something.
Yeah, you're probably going to get to this, but in Genesis 26, it talks about Isaac redigging the wells of his father Abraham. And I think some of us sometimes, you know, we fall away or we get discouraged or something happens, and it takes some effort to redig wells. And, you know, we read that and move on, And we say, oh yeah, you just redug the wells. But that takes willpower, and that takes work, that takes effort, and as you're saying, violence.
Yeah.
You gotta be violent
force.
To set dirt. Yeah.
Force. One of the things that I turned to Gary at one point yesterday, and I said, Gary, good thing Ben has an excavator. Do you know how long it would take us to shovel this thing?
And Isaac didn't have an excavator.
I know, he didn't have one of those things. I mean, I was amazed, just amazed, at the amount of dirt that came out to create that hole. I was also amazed at how much dirt it took to fill it back up. Well, that's stupid if you put it in, take out the dirt, you're going to put no, because there's this big hole there that doesn't get filled in with dirt, right? And it took every bit of dirt that was out to fill it back up and grade it the right way away from the well casing. I was just like, wow, I am so glad somebody knows how to run an excavator. That was a massive amount of dirt. And then we had some boulders that were as big as that piano.
Wow.
What's that?
He said, did you hear that, Heather?
I'm sorry, John.
You
don't want more rocks.
You what?
My wife is fascinated with big rocks.
Well, if you want to see some boulders, Heather, come on up. Come on up and look at those boulders. We were looking, and by the way, this is an aside from the word, John, we're looking for somebody to get their boulders out of our did you get them? John? We got a flatbed, you guys. What?
I
was afraid to say that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to have you turn to it, but I'll just tell you this little Bible story, which you all are familiar with. Everybody that's ever gone to church, even for a little bit of time, knows the story of Gideon.
Yep.
Okay? And we know that they were coming up to fight an enemy. And I feel like this whole thing of wells of living water and partaking of the Holy Spirit hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say and being obedient to that. That whole story of Gideon. God wants to show Gideon it isn't by all kinds of people.
Right.
He whittles down from 20-something thousand, I think it was, down to 300 people. Now, God did it a particular way. He had, after he whittled it down a little bit, the people that God wanted were people, when they went to drink from the water, okay? He said, I want you to look and see who laps the water with their hands and who gets down on their knees and drinks the water down there. He wanted people that were prepared for battle. He wanted innately, internally. They had trained their mind to be ready for what might be coming down the line. And the people that scooped the water and locked the water this way was who God wanted. The people that had their focus on the water and not looking around, he didn't want those guys. He wanted the people that understood there's a battle going to be happening here. You and I need to be ready. And there's a thing when we talk about drinking from the wells of salvation. Well, it isn't always peacetime. In fact, now more than ever, the kingdom of God suffers violence. Now more than ever. And we need to be people that are looking around, being careful, not consumed by it, but ready for the things that are coming. coming on this earth. Isn't that what the scripture says? We want to be ready. Now, most people, I think a lot of Christian people, and I'm not going to get into the theological debate about this, but a lot of people think, well, it doesn't matter. We're going to be raptured out of here. And what do we have to worry about? There is a lot of things that I hope that we're ready for that I don't think most of Christians are missing. So I hope that you're this kind of person. You're drinking of the Holy Spirit. We're getting filled with that everlasting life. But we're aware of what's going on around us too. Because the kingdom of God does suffer violence. And those with intensity take a hold of it. Right? We have to be intense people. Yeah, go ahead.
It just reminds me of a story when you talk about Yom Kippur and stuff like that. It's 1974. Egypt wanted to attack against Israel. And they listened to one guy. Israel basically listened to one guy. I forget the guy's name, but they listened to one guy, and he said that the chances of being attacked are minuscule, because he had like a formula of how to figure this stuff out. And so on Yom Kippur, actually, Egypt attacked Israel.
Yep.
And Syria, from the other side, also attacked Israel. And they were unprepared.
Right.
And there was a lot of lives lost.
Exactly.
And they basically, everybody was just listening for this one person, even though there was a lot of discussion saying, we need to be prepared.
Yes.
But they weren't prepared. And so they were prepared because they were so strong and built up such a good military prior to that they were able to fend them off. It took about a week to fend them off.
Yeah.
And they actually took over even more land. But basically saying, like, you need to be prepared, and it doesn't matter what people say.
Right.
You know? Like, you got to be listening to the Holy Spirit even more so, right? They weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. They were listening to this one guy. And it led almost to the land getting overtaken because of that. So you got to keep your eyes, and the kingdom is under attack all the time, right? You got to be vigilant all the time. So just another example of how all that works out.
Exactly. And when we're talking about the kingdom being attacked, we're not talking about it in general. It can mean that. But you, as part of the kingdom, you as a king and a priest in the kingdom of God, where the enemy's trying to take you out. There's lots of different ways he can try to take you out. Right? So we have to be aware. This last thing that I want to bring out is Psalm 42. And it says this: as the deer pants for the water. As the deer pants. What's that mean? Pants.
Means you really want the water.
Oh yeah. You know, it's like, I gotta have that. I have to have it. Right? Panting, you have to have it. There's a strong, strong, strong desire. And this is the other part of that no manner of preaching or reading the word without there being something in our spirits that long for God, that long for the Holy Spirit, for long to really be obedient and to do what he wants us to do. Not that we're going to be perfect, but it says here, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. Isn't that always said to me. My soul, verse 2, thirsts for God, for the living God. Hallelujah. And all of us come short in that, don't we? And so we have to ask God, I want this us to be, I want to have a life that thirsts for you. That you are my all in all. We sing all these songs that have all these right words in them, and we sing them, but that doesn't mean that we're doing them.
Right.
And what happens with me is I find that I fall short all the time. Don't you?
Yeah.
I find myself falling short. I go, gosh, I know I love you, God, and I'm very thankful that you died for my sins, and yet I still find I'm not where I really want to be in my yearning for you and my obedience to you. Because it doesn't happen just up here. It has to come in here. And when there's a void right here, I know, hey, I've got to go to God and say, God, fill this empty part of my soul with your spirit. Because
yes.
I don't have the hunger for you the way I want. You know that I want it. And I know that all of us in this room want to serve God with all our soul and all our mind and all our heart and all our strength. And yeah, any of the other things that are said about that. Right? I mean, all of us want that. But it's another thing to really dig for it.
Yeah.
Dig for that water. Dig to build that well. Right? We're working out this great salvation that we have with fear and trembling. I want to be right. I want to have reverence for God. And it's real easy with the way things are in life to get us distracted and get us thinking just about ourselves and miss out on all the opportunities that God has for us to be flow out rivers of living water. Amen?
Amen.
So God wants to encourage us today to be that kind of people and to cry out to Him that we have rivers of living water. Yes.
And if we don't have that living water within us, we don't have it to share with the people that are lost, that, you know, God wants us to minister to them.
Right.
If we don't have it, how do we share it with others?
No, we can't. We can speak about it, but we're not going to have it. So Lord, I just ask you for us, all of us here, that we be people of faith, people that are led by the Holy Spirit, that want the Holy Spirit, that the water that washes us clean, the water that fills a thirsty heart for you, Lord, this is what we want. This is who we want. We want you. So Lord, we honor you today in our minds and hearts, in our bodies, Lord. We lift up holy hands to you and we say thank you, God, for all that you've done, that you have provided wells of salvation, and that we can have joy. We can take joy in drawing from those wells. In Jesus' name. Amen.